Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay, and thank you for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, June 26th. Coming up today, we'll hear from members of a citizens science project after it was discovered a misconnected sewage system has been leaking into a river in Tunbridge Wells for years. We'll also have reaction to plans to turn Christchurch Gate in Canterbury into an Airbnb. But first, taking a look at our top story today, a SEN school in Ashford with room for 40 pupils is still empty 2 months after it officially opened. Independent provider Kings Park School is for children aged 7 to 16 with lower special educational needs who do not fit into mainstream schools. Amy Saunders opened the school in April this year and Stevie Jane Watson is the head teacher. They've been speaking to reporter Ellie Hodgson.
We have had contact from a lot of the parents who are obviously been left without a school, and we've had quite distressed phone calls from them. But all we can tell them is that they can't come here, despite the fact that we're empty and that we want them. Medway have refused to get in contact with us, haven't they? They haven't responded to any of our emails where we've said we could help in the short run. You know, there's lots we can do. We've got teachers and classes. So even if we need to give them something to do in the interim, but they haven't got back to us. So we had a meeting with Medway maybe 6 weeks ago where they told us that they changed the rules. They weren't consulting with independent schools at all. Although they said that they can, if it goes to tribunal, there are a few cases that will go to an independent school, but they weren't going to consult with us. Then when the news of Cornfields and Bellevue came out, we got in touch with them again on Friday and said that we've heard what's happened. If you need any help, we want to work with you. We're here. No response.
What is the position with KCC at the moment in terms of offering places to KCC children at your school?
Okay. So we're offering places, obviously, to KCC children, and so a lot of them at the moment are going through the tribunal process where they have named us. And then KCC have been sending through the consultation paperwork to complete for those children.
Okay. And so when the school opened in April, it's before the policy had sort of changed at Medway.
No, so initially we met with Medway and Kent at KCC before we set up the school, told them what we were doing. And they were really on board. By the time we'd opened 6 months later, they were like, really sorry, everything's changed. That was that, really. We've changed the rules, we're not doing that anymore.
So obviously it's quite a lot to process the fact that you've opened this brand new facility and you don't have any children. Can you just tell me more about what an impact that must be on yourselves and also how you're feeling about the children that are missing out on this great provision?
Yeah, so from a kind of team perspective, it's disheartening. We're in every day and we are receiving, I don't know, maybe 10 phone calls a day from parents who want their children here. We're doing a lot of paperwork, a lot of legwork with filling out forms and trying to help parents, but we're not getting over that kind of final step, which is really frustrating. Obviously, from a budgeting point of view, that's an issue. We're paying staff and we don't have any children. But more so, it's the effect that it's having on the families and the children is really quite dramatic. Like, it's quite extreme. And there are parents and families that are just falling apart. So that's what's hardest at the moment, I think, isn't it?
I think it's the time frame, the time that it's taken sort of the families to sort of go through tribunal paperwork and then wait for final hearings and things like that. They're taking sort of up to or over a year, or those that are then waiting for future tribunal dates and hearings. And it's sort of the distress on the families of knowing that the children are potentially going to be out of school for sort of that length of time, on top of the ones that are already out of school at the moment. There's so many of them. And yeah, so it's just sort of the effect it's having on them.
Both Medway Council and KCC say they're waiting for Kings Park to demonstrate they meet their requirements before they'll start placing students.
Kent Online News.
A man who murdered a grandfather from Tunbridge Wells before dumping his body in woodland is due to be sentenced later today. Stephen Castle attacked Wayne Woodgate over a long-standing grudge last October. The 59-year-old from Hastings Road near Matfield was found guilty by a jury following a trial last month. A cyclist had been charged with manslaughter nearly 2 years after a crash in Rochester. 91-year-old James Blackwood was hit by a bike and injured outside his home on City Way in July 2023. He died 3 months later. Clifford Cage, who's 50 and from the Fairway in Rochester, is due at Crown Court next month. Police, firefighters and paramedics have been called to reports of a serious crash near Ashford. The A274 Headcorn Road in Biddenden was closed yesterday evening. It's understood the air ambulance also landed nearby. Four people have been arrested on suspicion of being part of a gang that advertised channel crossings for asylum seekers on social media. Three men and a woman were detained in and around London yesterday. They're also thought to have collected people who were transported into the UK in lorries from locations in Kent. Police investigating a dog attack in Whitstable have released a CCTV image of someone they want to speak to. A child and a woman are said to have been bitten by a medium-sized black dog on Oxford Street earlier this month. None of the injuries were serious. We've shared a picture of a woman officers are hunting at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Firefighters have been called to tackle a grass blaze in the village of Marden. It broke out on Staplehurst Road yesterday evening. No one was hurt and the cause is unknown. Now, figures seen by Kent Online show Medway Council has made £145,000 from yellow box junction fines. Nearly 4,500 penalties were issued to drivers last year. Bosses say the rules are designed to ease congestion and to keep people safe. Bosses in Ashford are calling for more respect for traffic wardens following abuse on social media. Workers have been insulted in posts on a Facebook group. The council say those handing out parking tickets are just doing their jobs. A new survey has revealed up to 5,000 jobs could be lost in Kent as hundreds of millions of pounds are wiped from the economy when changes to inheritance tax come in. Farmers and rural businesses will have to pay 20% tax on estates worth more than £1 million. One Kent farmer said he'd be better off dying now to spare his family what will be a £2 million bill when the new rules are introduced next April. Many say the additional costs will make running a farm unsustainable, leading to job losses and an increased threat to food security. A search is underway for more brownfield sites in Thanet that could be turned into housing. Council bosses say they've identified several plots, but they want to make sure they've explored all the options. It's been described as an important step towards meeting accommodation needs. Now, plans have been revealed to turn an historic building in Canterbury into a holiday let. Christchurch Gate serves as the main entrance to the cathedral. It could now be converted into an Airbnb. Gabriel Morris from our colleagues at KMTV has been finding out what people in the city really think.
They want to put a holiday let in there. They just put plans forward. King-size bed, they're going to put a shower room in, they're going to make some alterations inside. It's a grade one listed building. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's absolutely absurd, to be honest with you. It's got a lot of history behind it. You know, like you say, it's a listed building. And the fact they can turn it into a holiday let when there's also a housing crisis, you know, in the country, is absolutely absurd.
I do think it's a good idea because it brings more people to the city. It's kind of a bit of a waste of the building just being office work. So obviously it gives more people a nice place to stay with a nice building.
I think it's a pretty poor idea, to be fair. I think to turn a beautiful establishment like that, I mean, that gate's been there since 1504. And to be fair, they can do whatever they want to do. However, I have one criteria which I'd like to put in place, that any rent that's accumulated could actually go back to the homeless in Canterbury, and they use it as a charity.
It would be a really cool stay, but I just feel like, you know, it's going to detract from really what it is. Like, you know, you're kind of selling out Gout a little bit.
Church bosses say generating income is the best way to ensure the long-term care of their buildings.
Kent Online News.
Emergency works are being carried out in Tunbridge Wells to fix a sewer line that's been leaking into a river thanks to a misconnection. A citizen science project has been monitoring levels of ammonia in the River Grom and says the readouts they've been getting are grim. Sarah Butler is from Project Ripple Effect.
So the River Grom is a really small river. You can see 5 miles of it when it leaves Tunbridge Wells and runs down into the Medway, but when it emerges from the Tunbridge Wells, it's already spent about 2 miles in a culvert, so it's hidden inside a great big pipe, and we test the moment it emerges from that culvert, and we've been testing over a year, and the water has never had a healthy level of ammonia. And ammonia is an indicator that there's sewage in there. And it's been pretty sad all the way through. When our lead ecologist came, Dr. Ellen Rothray, for the first time, I said, what do you make of it? And she just said, it's grim. And we very rarely find much sign of life in there. Ammonia's been consistent all the time, whether there's lots of rain, no rain, a little bit of rain, it makes no difference. There's always ammonia in there.
So it sounds like it's coming from sewage.
Yes, almost certainly. Ammonia can come from livestock on farms, but given that this river is underground in Tunbridge Wells, there's no livestock. So it is coming from sewage, we're pretty sure of that. And you can smell it, you can smell sewage. And the people in the garden centre, below which we test, they have to put up with the stench of sewage a lot of the time, and they really hate it.
So you took the test at the start of the month, so we're the 22nd or 3rd, 4th now, I think, something like that. So about 20 days ago, you did that test. I understand Southern Water are starting to act already on
yes.
this.
Yeah, so we have been reporting for over a year that there's an issue here and nobody's really wanted to take responsibility. But when we tested at the very start of the month, we went down on a Monday lunchtime, took our samples, and ammonia was very high. It was much higher than we'd seen it before. And we searched for invertebrates. There are 8 that we look for in particular. We normally find a few and we found absolutely none. So we were very concerned, reported it to the Environment Agency and Southern Water. And next day, Southern Water went and tested and I got a call from them saying, fine, don't worry, in a kind of don't worry, darling kind of way. It's naught, which plainly it wasn't. It never is. So went back and tested again later that day and it was even higher. It was almost at 4 parts per million, which is scary. That's going to kill pretty much everything. Certainly it would kill fish. So reported it into the EA again, the Environment Agency. They rang me straight back and said, we're really concerned to hear that. And they turned up the next day and did their own test and replicated our results. So they then contacted Southern Water, got Southern Water to come down. Turns out that Southern Water's test kit was not functioning properly. So it was giving a zero reading everywhere and they didn't notice. So the EA guy got Southern Water to put a camera up the culvert. Sounds painful, but basically it's a really huge pipe and they put a CCTV camera up it to work out where sewage might be coming from. And they didn't actually have to do that. They knew they weren't releasing it, but they did do it. And they persisted until the early hours of the morning, apparently, and eventually they found the source of the sewage. So, yeah.
What was that source?
It's a large building, private building, in the centre of town, and it sounds as if when work was done to it quite a few years ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago, the sewage pipe was misconnected. Should have gone into the sewer, went into the river. And it's been releasing sewage ever since.
The repairs are impacting traffic along Frant Road and are scheduled to continue until July 9th. It's upsetting drivers in the area who say the disruption is adding to congestion problems with a number of roadworks already underway. Gabriel has been talking to motorists to see how it's impacting them.
Outside the Mead School in Frant Road, the road is closed for a fortnight completely. So they're diverting traffic onto the other roads. But the road has also got emergency traffic lights outside Sainsbury's, which is less than 150 yards away. And there are also emergency traffic lights three ways at the top of Major York's Road, by the Spa Hotel, by the roundabout. So, for example, when I came back from Edenbridge yesterday, it took me 25 minutes to get in through the last half mile into Tunbridge Wells. The road is also closed at the top of Madeira Park. So, for example, if you live in the centre of Tunbridge Wells and you want to go to Pembury, you have to end up going the High Street and up Grove Hill Road. But you can't go up Grove Hill Road because the traffic's all backed up because of the problems at Sainsbury's. And I appreciate the work has to be done and understand that, but there doesn't seem to be a coordination when they have emergency traffic lights on top of sending people to other places with emergency traffic lights. So it's the coordination that's it. And also all the coordination, if any, seems to come from Maidstone, and nobody gets any local knowledge whatsoever.
How would you describe the situation?
I just think it's unplanned. Emergency work has to be done. The effect on the local economy is huge. The frustration is huge. The pollution is huge. And yet, if somebody had actually sat down on a Monday and decided which work was going to be given the priority, it's all the same work. It's all from the water company or the gas. And there seems to be no coordination between the two, and there's somebody at a desk in Maidstone that gives permission to do these things instead of somebody local in the town hall who knows exactly what the problem is.
At the moment, it's just unbearable. It's impossible to go around because all the roads on the south side of Tunbridge Wells are closed. I can list you all the closures if
you
like.
That's all right, don't worry, you don't need to do that.
Yesterday, for example, it took me 45 minutes from the Trinity of Art, the cinema, to go back to my place that is near the front road. That usually takes 5 minutes. Therefore, it's really impossible. It's not good for the shops. It's not good for people that have to move and reach a place quickly. And I don't know who plans this, if these are just a case that everything happened at the same time. I hope it will be sorted soon.
Medway Maritime Hospital has lost accreditation for one of its services because of long waiting lists. The site was assessed by the Royal College of Physicians Joint Advisory Group for gastrointestinal endoscopy procedures. Bosses say they're committed to making improvements. Work has now started to remove more than 30,000 tonnes of illegally dumped waste from a Kent woodland. Specialists have been brought in to dig up the rubbish at Hodes Wood near Ashford. It'll then be taken away in lorries and safely disposed of. It's expected to take more than a year to get rid of it all. Three people were previously arrested over the mess, and we're told an investigation is continuing. The MPs for Tunbridge Wells, Sevenoaks and Tunbridge have teamed up to criticise Royal Mail delivery services. Mike Martin, Laura Trott and Tom Tugendhat say only two-thirds of first-class parcels are being delivered on time in the TN postcode area. That's the worst rate on record. They're urging the regulator Ofcom to step in. A women's rights charity in Cairns has been forced to close because of a lack of funding. Power of Women Thanet aimed to promote equality and fair pay. A spokesperson says their funding's dropped by 40% in recent years because of the cost of living crisis. Now, a WHO family say they've been left with a vet bill of more than £25,000 after being missold an assistance dog. Lucy Day bought Alfie for her 17-year-old daughter who has autism and anxiety, but just weeks later he was diagnosed with bilateral hip dysplasia. It's a condition where the ball and the socket don't fit together properly, causing pain and mobility issues. Now, this can affect any dog. However, large breeds like Alfie, who's a Labrador, are statistically more susceptible. Lucy says the company, Supporting Paws, didn't flag the risk of the condition. The business has since stopped trading, but say Alfie was bought as a pet, not an assistance dog. The family want an apology and money to cover the cost of his treatment. A Whitstable woman who suffered kidney failure when she was 26 weeks pregnant has thanked her sister for saving her. Natalie May had to have an emergency C-section, and her son survived after being taken to intensive care. She later had a kidney transplant with her sister donating the organ. Natalie and her son, who's now 9, are taking part in the Kidney Research UK London Bridges Walk next Sunday to raise awareness. And a debate's been held in Parliament about the importance of supporting Kent winemakers. Katie Lamb, who represents the Weald of Kent, says vineyard businesses are often facing razor-thin margins. She wants them to be given tax breaks because of all the tourism they bring.
Our producers represent the future of winemaking. They certainly shouldn't be hindered by rising costs. We need long-term policies that will support their continued growth. Wine GB estimates there are 16 million potential visitors to the UK wine tourism sector, a huge untapped market. In my constituency, the excellent Chapel Down welcomes over 60,000 visitors a year for winery tours and continues to be a major contributor to our local economy. And that's just the beginning. Producers like Gusbourne, Westwell, Biddenden, Balfour, Dingledon, Hamstreet, Warehorn, Woodchurch and Domaine Evremond all play a part. We're so fortunate in the Weald that I couldn't even attempt to name them all in the time I have today. It is, of course, a tremendous chore to visit them all, but my commitment to public service remains unwavering. Many vineyards now make up to 50% of their sales direct to consumer, so-called cellar-door sales. It's often the only way for small producers to avoid the razor-thin margins created by intermediaries, excise duties and distributor fees. The potential here is enormous. Wine tourism helps create skilled jobs in rural constituencies like mine. It supports regional identity and allows producers to build a direct relationship with their customers. A targeted duty relief on direct-to-consumer or tourist cellar-door sales would help wine producers in a similar way to the help which beer and cider receive from draft relief and small producer relief, as we have heard from a number of honourable members this morning. So I asked the Minister, might the government consider implementing a wine tourism relief to recognise this youthful industry's potential and give small producers the boost they need to truly thrive? More broadly, visits to UK vineyards and wineries were up more than half in just 2 years. That is extraordinary growth by any measure. So I would like to ask the Minister today, what plans does he have to support one of the few industries in the UK that is demonstrably expanding, creating rural jobs, driving tourism, and building our export potential from the ground up? If we are serious about backing British agriculture and business, this is exactly the kind of sector that deserves targeted support. And yet, as is too often the case in the UK today, the more businesses grow, the more they seem to find themselves penalised by heavy-handed regulation.
The government say they're looking into the suggestion and are committed to supporting the industry's growth.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham will find out who they're facing in the first match of the new season. League Two fixtures are due to be released later today. The first games will be played on the 2nd of August. All the details of the fixtures will be posted at Kent Online, and we'll have an in-depth look at how the season is shaping up on tomorrow's episode of the podcast. Staying with football, and Charlton fans will be able to buy their new kit at a pop-up shop in Bluewater from today. The club's opening a store on the Upper Rose Gallery following their promotion to the Championship. A Kent school has been given nearly £1 million to build a new 3G football pitch. Funding from the Premier League, FA and government will allow the Marsh Academy to create a floodlit all-weather facility. It'll also be made available for local community teams on Romney Marsh during the evenings, weekends and school holidays. And briefly, in cricket, Kent have managed to salvage a draw in their county championship match against Lancashire. Grant Stewart scored a massive 130 to help secure the result on the final day in Blackpool. Kent are still bottom of the Division 2 table. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.